Please turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 9, verse 3. And we saw last week that God starts the seven trumpet judgments. And for those just maybe joining us, Jesus takes the title deed to the earth. It's a scroll. He pops seven seals. And the seventh seal that he pops to open to allow God to rightfully take over the earth. When he pops the seventh seal, it lights off seven trumpet judgments. And the seven trumpet judgments are the wrath of God coming to planet earth. And we're going to, you know, we started that last week. We're going to do the sixth trumpet today. And then the seventh trumpet, which is going to be later on, not today, it unleashes seven bowl judgments that come to the earth. And the seventh bowl judgment actually brings the second coming of Jesus. And I updated the timeline a little bit. That's going to be at the website, calvarypo.org. And we're going to continue as we go through here to maybe add some other things to deal with, to have it laid out in the chronology that it is, best we can tell. And so then this week we're going to cover the sixth trumpet, which unleashes a 200 million demonic horse and rider judgment on earth. It's taught differently. In some cases, people say it's China. It's talking about China coming with their troops to war with the Antichrist, and we'll cover that. And so as a lead-in, I have in there the review of the first five. The first one, hail, mingle with blood, thrown to the earth. First trumpet judgment, hail and fire fall, mingle with blood, thrown to the earth, and the earth's trees and grass are partially burned up or burned up. And then a great mountain falls into the water on the second trumpet, and creatures, living creatures in the sea die. The third is one that hits land. So it appears like an asteroid that hits the water, an asteroid that hits the land that causes the water to be bitter. The fourth trumpet, a third of the sun is struck and the moon and the stars. So there's some kind of darkness that comes as a result of shielding out the light from the sun and the stars and the moon. And the fifth, which we're going to pick up again in verse 3 to just read as a lead-in because it plays into our study today, it is a angel that is being allowed to open up the pit of hell, to open up, to allow demon locust creatures. It really is, in a sense, we could call it an alien invasion, except Satan and his demons are not really aliens. They're just in a different dimension. They're not coming from some other galactic place. They're actually in this world. But some of them are locked up in this bottomless pit. And they might be the gnarliest of the gnarly. And they're going to be allowed to come out, as we covered last week. But as we read this, remember there's also 144,000 Jewish men from the 12 tribes that are protected from every single one of these judgments. Nothing hits them. They're out there witnessing to the world. Chapter 9, verse 3. Then out of the smoke of opening up the pit of hell, locusts come upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, because they're not normal locusts, they're demonic locusts, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So the 144,000 are protected. Everybody else on earth is affected by these, as we covered last week. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. And going to verse 11. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek is the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. The one that rules over them is Satan. And what we're seeing here is that God allows these demonic locust scorpions, which people will actually see. Can you imagine just seeing? Some people think that they're going to be at the microbe level. Some people say, it doesn't say how big they are. And maybe it's some pestilence that sweeps, but when they look at it under a microscope that has these tails or whatever else, I think it's going to be actual creatures. And they're going to actually go around and stink. Can you imagine with all the panic that people have on a plandemic or casedemic and how people are so freaked out about getting COVID? Can you imagine when the entire world is being stung and it's like every day you're going out, when is one of those guys going to get me? And for 5 months it's on the planet. And can you imagine the news media and everything else? And at the same time, people will say, those 144,000, then I'm sure the news media of the day will be bad-mouthing these guys as liars and deceivers, trying to keep people away from embracing the global government of the Antichrist and everything else. But those guys don't get affected, but everybody else does get affected. And at the end of 5 months, they're just going to be going, oh, they're gone. They're gone. And they don't cause death. They cause unimaginable pain and misery. And what are the people also going to have? That, you know, we don't know what the 144,000 say to them, but there's going to still be the knowledge of the Word of God that's going to be on the earth. They're going to go, you know, I remember Grandpa used to say that there was this place in the book of Revelation that said these very things were going to come. So they'll have the Word of God, and some of them will have their hearts softened, but it says for the most part the world continues to rebel against God. And for those that think that, you know, God, I don't want to believe in a God of wrath. I don't want to believe in a God that's going to allow these creatures to come out and torment the people of the earth. What kind of a God would do that? And here's the answer. A kind of a God that's going to deal with wickedness and evil and people that reject him and hate his people so that he can give the earth back to the people that love him. And we love God because he's a loving God. We love him because his laws are good. But the world hates them. They want to have a drunken party. They want to worship idols. They want to kill people that fear God. You know, as it said, perilous times have come in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Despisers are those who do good. Is that the way the world is today? They despise people that fear God and do good. And so God has to either get rid of them or he has to get rid of us. And aren't we glad he gets rid of them? And aren't we glad he doesn't just get rid of them? He gives them space to repent. He gives them the ability to say, I said I was going to send these things, but you rejected that. You didn't believe in my son Jesus. You wanted to go live into the tribulation period. And so now during the tribulation period, here's the judgment. Do you want to repent or do you want to double down in your hatred of God? And people will be given that choice. Now, the reason I wanted to cover that is because the next trumpet judgment, it's not just wounding, it's not just pain and suffering of a scorpion bite that they can't die. It's another one-third of the world's population dies in the next judgment. So we're going to read the sixth trumpet judgment, and then we're going to go to chapter 16 to see the sixth bowl judgment, bowl of wrath judgment, because some people confuse what we're about to read with what is going to be a bowl of wrath, and we'll cover that when we get to it. Revelation 9:13. Then the sixth angel sounded its trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Now, realize it's just saying release angels. It's not saying dry up the Euphrates. It's just saying release the angels that are there. And these are I think, and others do too, it's demonic angels. They're being released. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth, blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of their works of their hands. that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. So we're going to come back and cover this, but I want to go to Revelation 16:12 because we're jumping ahead to years. We're jumping years ahead because the trumpet judgments are in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, thereabouts. And then in sometime in the second 3.5 years of the is the great tribulation, looking again at your timeline. In the second 3.5 is when the bowl judgments occur. And so we're jumping ahead to the bowl judgments, the bowls of wrath. And it doesn't fit the timeline. What I'm going to then, you know, follow this up by people thinking this 200 million man army is China. And it says in Revelation 16:12, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl of wrath on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, I think this is allowing armies from the east come to the Battle of Armageddon at the end. So this, the bowl of wrath is allowing the Euphrates somehow to miraculously dry up, which is a natural obstacle to anybody that's coming from Asia, coming into the Middle East to join with the other armies of the world for the Battle of Armageddon. And it would allow the Chinese army under the Antichrist to come and join in the Battle of Armageddon. It would allow that to happen, but it's nothing in here is about 200 million men. And people say, you know, that what we just read about the trumpet judgment. See, this is the Chinese. The Chinese are the only ones that advertise a standing army of 200 million people, and here's the fulfillment. I've been taught that. I think I even taught that for a while in the past. But it's not the same. We can't mix the trumpet judgment with a bowl of wrath judgment. And verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. We'll cover who these are when we get there in chapter 16 later on. But this in verse 14 pretty much says that Satan is gathering the nations of the world and their kings to bring war. What does Satan want to do? What do his demons want to do? They want to kill us all today. That's what they want to do. And so what happens is this bowl of wrath is they get unleashed and the demon spirits start speaking to the 10 nation leaders and to the Antichrist. Let's just have one last final big shindig war in the Middle East. Wipe out the Jews and meet in the Valley of Megiddo in the land of Israel and let's kill everybody. And Jesus said that had he not come back, everybody would die. And so it's all demonic that's bringing this about. Verse 15, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked. And they see his shame. We'll cover what he's talking about there. And they gather them together to the place called in the Hebrew Armageddon. How many of you have heard of the Battle of Armageddon? Pretty much the whole world knows that terminology, the Battle of Armageddon. This is what he's talking about. At the very end of the tribulation before Jesus return. So those two things, the sixth bowl of wrath is not the same as the sixth trumpet judgment. We can't say that the sixth trumpet judgment is 200 million man Chinese army coming across the Euphrates to deal with the Antichrist. That's not what it's saying, as we're going to go back and cover. So what is it saying? I want to look at it literal. Other people also want to look at it literal, and some of the recent commentaries have switched to the more literal interpretation that this is another demonic army. It's another horde of demon creatures, this time not just tormenting, but killing. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now, whenever I have a parallel verse in your handouts, I have the verse repeated, but some of this later on you're going to see you're going to have to go back to the original reading to find the verses that I'm talking about. But as we covered a couple weeks ago, what's the horns of the altar being talked about here? This is the altar of incense in heaven before God. What is the altar of incense symbolic of? The prayers of the saints. And so what happens is the sixth angel sounds, and then John hears a voice from the four horns of the golden altar. The golden altar is symbolic of the prayers of the saints. So what is the voice? I think it's just like the voice that God talked about with the first murder in the Bible. What is the first murder? The Lord said to Cain, Genesis 4:9, where is Abel your brother? Right after Cain has killed Abel. Where is your brother Abel? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, God said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So God was saying to Cain, you know, don't lie. He already knew anyway. He says, but don't lie. The blood, your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. So putting those two things together, and it's not the only place. Other places the Bible talks about how the ground, the creation, cries out for the blood of the innocents that have gone up to God. Have there been a lot of innocents killed and a lot of blood shed in this world? And aren't there a whole lot of people that say, my brother was killed by somebody and God didn't do anything about it. I don't want to turn my life to God. I've heard all kinds of reasons why people turn away from God is because God hasn't brought justice. And I know I'm repeating myself, but it's so important. God is going to bring justice. And he's going to do it in his time. And he's going to do it right here. This is what's coming. And other people get upset. Oh, I don't want to believe in a God that's going to bring justice. I don't want to believe in a God because he won't bring justice and keep my parents from being killed by cancer or run over by a drunk or all this other stuff. You know, I'm going to reject him for that. But then when he brings justice to the world, I don't want to believe in a God like that. Their hearts are just horribly deceived by Satan. And we have to tell them that. Do you realize what you are doing? So I think that what's happening with the sixth trumpet is we're reminded that all that innocent blood is just crying out to God. And then he says, okay, the world wants Satan. The world wants to have their drugs, sorceries, idolatry, sexual immorality, raping, pillaging, and everything else. I'm going to unrestrain the forces of Satan and demons to go through this world and start dealing with the evil and the wickedness that's here. And goes on to say, I heard the voice of the four horns of the old and of the witches before God. I'm going to start answering these prayers of the blood crying out, saying, God, deal with it. Saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates to avenge the blood of the innocents. If it were to be a movie so that you could believe these things to occur, he opens a portal. You know, some of those sci-fi movies, what happens? You know, a portal accidentally opens up and then all of a sudden things are able to come into the earthly realm that we're in some other place. That's what God is doing. And we have to understand, and we know this from the book of Daniel that we've already covered previously, there's angels of God whose mission it is to restrain Satan and angels of Satan that are in charge of nations. And so there's these angels, demonic angels, that are just wanting to be unleashed to bring terror to the earth. And God has kept them restrained, restrained, restrained. And at the sixth trumpet, he says, let them go. Let them do their thing. Saying to the sixth angel, release the four angels bound in the great river Euphrates. In this time, to kill. And possibly maim. It says that their tails do harm. Maybe there's maiming involved also. So imagine the world is all done with the scorpions and locusts. And, oh, wow, you know, that was bad. But the Antichrist is going to get us through this and we're going to be okay. And then all of a sudden they're going to be hit with what's coming. And once again, people are shaking their heads as how could America have changed so much in the last year? Have you ever shaken your head? Like, how in the world could this have happened? How could the land of the free, home of the brave, just change so quickly? And really, I think it is the Lord removing the restraint. He put a force field around a people unique in history that really wanted, even if they didn't want Jesus, they wanted the law of God to rule their land. They built their judicial system on the premise of the law of God. The founding fathers built the Bill of Rights and the Constitution based on recognizing how evil people are and how there has to be checks and balances, and that you can't just let somebody run amok. You can't have a king that's going to just terrorize, you know, like the countries of Europe just terrorize them by just being evil and wicked and slaughtering the people. No, we need to have checks and balances to check the evil spirit of man. But then they advised us, they said, you know, this will only work if the people are religious, God-fearing people. As soon as they lose that God-fearing aspect of their own character, then they'll vote for wicked people. And once they vote for wicked people, then the wicked take over, and it's over. It's all done. The people have to have a conviction to be wanting to be ruled by God, which means they want to be free, but they're not free because the law of God restrains them. As soon as they want to be lawless and wicked, they'll vote for lawless and wickedness and coveting. They want other people's money to come their way and all these other things. And then we fall apart as a country. And so there is an unrestraining happening because, you know, and people want to blame the church because we haven't caused people to become Christians. But throughout history, it doesn't matter. I mean, we don't say become a Christian, we're going to lop your head off. I mean, that's reserved to the Muslims to do that about Allah. It's just that what happens when a people, throughout history, a people ends up with the blessings of God and freedom of time and wealth, and what do? They turn it to licentiousness. They use the freedom and blessings of God to then turn away from God and to go to the pleasures of the world. That's what's happened throughout history. And so we're repeating that history, and God is removing his restraint. And so all the stuff about the election, whatever is going to happen with it, here's what the Christian idea is. God has removed his restraint because the people have wanted it so. Not that we want it so, but God sees the overall character and nature of our country. And if he says there's too much blood being spilled, there's too much immorality, there's too much porn, there's too much drug use, and all this other stuff that's going on, unleashing this evil upon our country, and he goes, okay, they don't want me. They want Satan. Satan gets unrestrained. And then all this treasonous, lawless lying and theft and fraud takes over. Whether or not, by the grace of God, he allows some of that to be dealt with is something for him to decide what he wants to do. But the whole world is headed to the time of the Antichrist, which means we know someday this country does go down. And we have to be just willing to accept it when it does, because this ain't our country, right? If we hold on to it too tightly, you'll be depressed. And our country is in heaven. Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Anything bad happened in the area of the Euphrates? Look at it spiritually. It's almost like there are spiritual dark places in the world. In fact, many people have said Kitsap County is a dark place. They will say they come here and they feel the spiritual oppression. When I went to China, I couldn't believe how much I just felt like, oh, it's like the demons are in control in this place. The couple times that I went there, it was just amazing to get back into what was a free country, what was a sane country, and just go, wow, you could feel the spiritual oppression lift. Kitsap County, people have said, and I agree, just looking at things that have happened. But what happened in the areas of the Euphrates River? What was the rebellion, first rebellion against God after the flood? Who was it? Nimrod. Where was that? Area of Babylon, Assyria? So Nimrod leads the people into the Tower of Babel. That's in the Euphrates. Idolatry, rampant idolatry, which is demon worship. And what did God say to Abraham? Get your family out of here. Go to a land that I will show you. Was Assyria a problem to the chosen people of God, Israel? Absolutely. Coming from the Euphrates River area. How about followed by Babylon? Followed about today. Is Iraq, Iran, Syria, Turkey, are they friendly to the things of God and to the people of God? The place is a stronghold of demons. Now, some people acknowledge these aspects of the scripture that talk about places that are strongholds of demons. And then they write books about how all the Christians have to do is walk around their city and put a force field around it and cast the devil out. And so a lot of the New Apostolic Reformation people are like that, too, which I don't have that vision. of spiritual warfare. Like I can sit there and say, okay, I'm going to walk around this porn place and I'm going to tell the demons to get away, and then all of a sudden nobody's going to show up and the business is going to shut down. Why? Because the demons are going to be sitting there going, what's your deal, man? God has allowed us to do this because the people want it. See, when people want the devil, God lets them have it. So who are we to all of a sudden put a force field around? And when I was dialoguing with somebody really into this, I said, why don't you just get on a 747 and just fly around the world and get rid of the devil? Instead, why stick with just a porn house or just a city? Just take a 747 and all your people that believe in this stuff and just fly around the world and get rid of it. And the demons laugh at us. And besides that, what Christians are given is the ability to, if the demon-possessed person is open to it, we can pray that Jesus would deliver them personally from being possessed. But the demons, they're here. And they're just on the other dimension. And I've talked to people that have former druggies that, I think I shared this story before, but this neat guy, he came here. I was afraid he was going to go back into drugs because that happens sometimes. And when I told him, Dave, are you sure you're not? You're set free. He goes, Kevin, it will never happen again. Never happen again. Why? Because, Kevin, I know you're not going to believe this, but I was driving the car and all of a sudden I saw the demons. He was driving by Fred Meyer. And he saw him. One was up on a pole and one was in the back seat of his car. I believe him, by the way. I mean, if you knew him, you would believe him too. You would believe what he was saying. And he used to be a mess shooter and stuff. And he says there was a demon in the back seat, and he flicked him on the ear, and he turned around and he saw him with a syringe saying, come on, man. He goes, I was praying, I was struggling, I was tempted, I was saying, God, help me. And God helped him by letting him see the world, to see what was on the other dimension. And just seeing how gnarly these creatures were and how they're just ready to mess with him again. He says, Kevin, the Lord allowed me to be so clearly understanding I am dealing with Satan's demons. And it won't happen again. And last time I talked to him, he was still clean, sober, no problem. Praise God. So, verse 15. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. And this is in addition to the one-fourth that has already died when Jesus was popping the seals of the scroll. Seals 2 through 4 were a fourth of the world's population dying. And this is in addition to the unnumbered dead from the first 5 trumpet blasts that we've covered. And so now we're at least depopulated down to a half of the original world's population. So Bill and Melinda Gates are going to be jumping for joy when that happens, if they survive. Because I don't say that facetiously or flippantly. They and everybody deceived by this carbon footprint, save the planet, worship the planet people, they all really would love to see billions of people die. Human beings in charge of vaccination programs, in charge of IDing the entire population of the world to then control who can buy and sell, these human beings really do want to major cull the global human population. And somebody in 1980 put up the Georgia Guidestones. How many have not heard of the Georgia Guidestones? So some of you haven't. But And you know, people haven't been able to figure out exactly who. There's rumors about who it is. But it's a 10 commandments for the world into the future. And one of the things that it says in various different languages of the world, the inscription at the top, it says that it's meant for current and future generations, sandblasted along the square capstone sitting atop the structure, is a basic message. Let these be guidestones to an age of reason. You know, the reason why they say that is because this is not an age of reason to them. These people are deceived by Satan, and they consider us living, multiplying, filling the earth. They consider that absolute insanity, and that we're all part of the problem. We're like the disease to mommy earth Gaia. And so then one of the 10 commandments is moving clockwise around the structure from due north in English, Spanish, Swahili, Hindi, Hebrew, Arabic, and traditional Chinese and Russian, it says, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. So we're, according to a site that I went to, 7.8 billion people today in the earth. And let's call it 8 because it's a lot easier. So 1/4 of the world population died in seals 2 through 4. So that lost 2 billion people. How much is 2 billion people? That's every man, woman, and child in China, the U.S., and U.K., and then some. And then a handful more. Imagine every single human being in America gone. Every single human being in China gone. Every single human being in the U.K. gone. And then we're not quite up to 2 billion. That leaves, 1/4 is lost, that leaves 6 billion people still. So now this plague is going to wipe out another third, so 6 billion, 1/3 is another 2 billion people. That's everybody in the country of India and the EU. And that leaves us with 4 billion. And we got to get down to 500 million as far as the guidestone, people behind the guidestones who want us to live in perfect harmony with the world, where the world gets to be without human being except for the few elites that get to be there. I don't know how they decide who gets to be the 500 million. Well, at the time of Jesus, there was roughly 300 million people on the earth. So just a little bit more than what was on the earth at the time of Jesus. So now, I'm wondering, just a thought, God sees that little guidestone. And so here we know the Bible lists that first 1/4, then 1/3, meaning 1/2. We don't have the number of people that died in the trumpet judgments. We don't have the number of people that die with the Antichrist or anything else. But maybe God says, okay, you guys want to serve Satan, who wants to reduce it to 500 million. Maybe that's all that there is when Jesus comes back. And because the Antichrist and his deals are going to kill many, many people also. Revelation 9:15, so the four angels who had been prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year were released to kill a third of mankind. And I believe the commentators that say that he's telling us it's going to be for 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, and 1 hour. That's how long these demonic hordes are going to be tormenting the people of the earth. Why do I believe that? The same reason they do is that Jesus uses the scriptures used in Daniel and Revelation. It says a time, for a time, times, and half a time. You go, well, what does that mean? A time is a year, times 2 years, half a time, half a year, so 3.5 years. Well, how can you know for sure? Because later on it talks about how many months. So then the scriptures say, well, that is equal to this many months, which is 3.5 years. So then you know times, times, and half a time is 3.5 years. So the scriptures use these kind of numbering systems, and so I do think this will be a little over a year judgment. Now, the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And again, at the time, John is writing this, there's about 300 million people on the earth, and he was writing it for the churches, and I think he's saying, you know, people are going to say 200 million. And in their little world, there's not anywhere close to that. And they go, what do you mean? And John goes, I heard the number, okay? That's what they said. That's what it is. And so don't argue with me. I heard right. This is not China coming over for the reasons mentioned earlier. It is something different if we take it literally. And thus, verse 17, I saw the horses in the vision and those who sat on them, who are not the ones killing, apparently. It's the horses that are killing. And breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, sulfur yellow, and heads of horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. People say, well, this is modern warfare. This is a tank, and this is shooting fire out. And that's what John's seeing with these weapons and stuff. And they're saying that's what it is. It's talking about a battle. But nothing else about it really implies that it is a battle. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. And once again, I can only imagine the terror that people will have. People are in terror to go outside. There were people during Thanksgiving that just because the governor made the edict that you can't be together. They were okay with it before, but as soon as the governor says you can't be together unless you've quarantined, you can't have more than this many unless you've quarantined for 14 days before, and then you can have your Thanksgiving meal. And there were people that were affected in this church who were told by their niece, other relatives, that, hey, sorry, aunt, since you didn't quarantine, you can't come. You can't come because the governor says that you're almost for sure going to get COVID and die if you have more than this many people. I mean, just think of the absolute incredible test case that these tyrants are using to control and to determine how much control do they have over the population of a once free, once brave America. And their own words, they're astounded at how successful their PSYOP has been. How much success they have had in getting us conditioned to what they're doing. And now imagine that this demonic horde stuff is coming and people are going to be absolutely terrorized out of their mind because people are really 2 billion people, maybe plus, are going to be dying as a result of this true plague of this judgment that comes upon the nations of the world. For their power is in their mouth, verse 19, and in their tails, and their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. So maybe the tails just do harm, but their mouths bring the killing. If they do harm, they bite like a serpent. And remember, the 144,000 are untouched during this time, but the rest of mankind, but not 100%. We know that from the scriptures. If people are coming out of the great tribulation to be saints, then we know not every single person, but most of the world will be saying, but the rest of the mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of their works of their hands, meaning idols, that they would not worship demons, which are behind idols, and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Now, I think, and others do too, that what's going to happen during this time is people will be deceived by demons into saying you need to, the way to keep these creatures from getting you is that you have to worship Satan. You need to have St. Christopher against the horses. You have to have something else. That's how many people worship St. Christopher, because isn't he the traveling saint? I'm going to remember. Okay, some of my Catholics are nodding. If I have St. Christopher on my dashboard, I'm not going to get in a wreck. And then they have other saints that sell your property, and they bury one in each four corners of the property and say, help out my realtor. Get this place sold. People do that when everything's wonderful. Think about what's going to happen when you're waking up and wondering whether or not you're going to be hit with one of these horses, or earlier one of the scorpions, and the deception is going to be there. And instead of people crying out to God, saying, God, I know I deserve these judgments that are coming. Your word of God said it was going to happen. I'm not one of the 144,000. I'm listening to their message. I want to get on my knees and repent right now. And even if I die, I want to trust in you and go to heaven to be with you, along with the people that went before all this, because they believed in Jesus before the rapture. And I want to just go be, everybody else is going to turn to the devil and they're going to go worship idols. And it says that they can't see or hear or walk, but leave out talking, because demons do talk through people. And when they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts, they did not repent of these things. Murder will become rampant. We're starting to increasingly hear about people that are just driving by and just shooting people randomly. Happened again this week. I think that's nothing compared to what's going to be happening in the tribulation period. I think that's nothing compared to when the Christian influence that is in this world, by the however many millions, tens of millions there are that are going to be raptured. When we're gone, can you imagine? When we're gone, at that moment, there is nobody that fears God on this earth through his son Jesus. Nobody has been restrained by the Holy Spirit living and telling people, no, you can't murder. And murder is just going to run rampant. People are just going to shoot each other for nothing. Sorceries, drug use. It is the Christian position that there should never be sorcery drugs anywhere in the country. What does the law of God say? The law of God says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10, don't let a sorcerer live. Why? Because the devil's in the drugs. The devil's in the alcohol. And again, alcohol is different than meth. The Bible says you can eat and drink alcohol without getting drunk. But meth and these other drugs that Satan has inspired people to do for just absolutely putting people into the spiritual demonic world are extremely destructive. And what did Oregon do? Oregon said, you can have a small amount of meth and we're not going to arrest you. Do you realize? I mean, we as Christians can predict Oregon is done. In fact, everybody's going to flee to Oregon. And Washington goes, oh, we don't want to lose our druggies. It'll be free here. Just give us another election. We'll do it free here. You can have meth here. Do you realize? Oh, because we want to collect the money from that. We want to collect the taxes from destroying people's lives. That is a spiral into the pits of hell. We have the wisdom to know that, but these people under the sway of the wicked one don't know that. And did you realize that once they legalize a small amount, that means that the big drug dealers are free and clear. Because the cops can't inspect a car that has a dog that hits on the drug. As soon as a dog hits on, there's suspicion that there's drug use. They bring in a dog. The dog hits on it, then they can open up the car and see what's there. But they can't do that anymore because they don't have probable cause because they could have hit on just the little bit that's legal. So there's going to be rampant death and destruction coming to Oregon. Let's predict that. Why can we predict that? Because I'm a prophet? No, because the Bible's true. And God says, don't let a sorcerer live because it'll destroy your country. Sexual immorality, thefts of boats, and not even blushing about it. I mean, it's just amazing to me what's going on in our country. Can you imagine months and years ago deciding we're not going to let an election go that we aren't in control of. We're never going to let it happen again. And so you set up voting machines, you set up poll workers, you bribe them, you extort judges, you do all these things, you plan it, you have dead people vote. There was this one picture of, you know, here's a Trump rally, and then there's a graveyard. You know, here's Trump voters, here's Biden voters. And I mean, all these things really happened. All these things really did happen. And see, they plan all of this as if, and we have the media, so we can just spin this and make it happen. And then Trump the other day was doing a press conference, and he was talking about the case after case after case of absolute impossible numbers proving fraud. And then you have a news media person go, are you going to concede the election? What are you talking about? It's like, you know, would they do that in a Little League game? What would happen if a Little League or a baseball game or Inflategate or Deflategate, I guess it was called, you know, when Tom Brady wanted a deflated, you know, and what about the baseball people that got, they took away the World Series from some team because they were spying on the signals between the pitcher and the catcher. And they took away the World Series from them. But then you have the deceived, completely deluded, out of their minds. It's like this spiritual delusion has swept into our country. And somebody says, who cares if there's hundreds of thousands of votes in a landslide for you turned into a win by Biden? Are you going to concede? Unbelievable. And the only explanation is we're under the sway of the wicked one. There is a huge delusion that's sweeping. And thefts. But we do know that some do respond. And we can be thankful for that. Oh, I was going to get into chapter 10, but we'll do that next week. So no surprise there. And we started a little bit late. But now, let me conclude with the fact, how many of you are assured You're not going to have to worry about opening your doors to a demonic horde of horses that are out after you. Okay, now notice the hands that are down. They're either shy about raising their hands or they're not sure. I mean, think about this. My Lord Jesus is not going to subject his bride, which is the church, to this. He's not going to subject his 144,000 that I think got sent back to earth for this mission. He's not going to subject them to it because he's marked them. He's marked them to be immune from any of the effects of the trumpet judgments. So I know that I'm not going to be staring down the horses because he doesn't want to do that to his bride. He doesn't want me to experience the wrath of God. And how do I know that? Because he allowed the wrath of God that I deserved to be placed upon his son 2,000 years ago on the cross on Calvary. And see, it was me trusting and believing, Jesus, you did that for me. I deserve to receive the wrath of God for my sins. I deserve to die and to suffer eternity separated from you, the God of love. And I was so rebellious against you. I was so rejecting of the people that tried at first to tell me about you. You should have let me die. It would have been righteous for you to let me die and be separated and for you not to continue to reach out to me. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son that he could save even me. And when I realized that, I realized, whoa, what a fool I've been. And I need to just repent to this God who is just so waiting for me to just repent. And then he says, okay, here's your rap sheet. Burns up, it's gone. The entire rap sheet against God and against man. And he says, and you will never receive the wrath of God again, because the wrath was placed on Jesus and he took it for me. And in exchange, I give him my life. I say, thank you, Jesus. And the rest of the crazy stuff that I have to go through in this world because the sins of the world are still here. My sins are still creating grief in my life. Your sins are creating grief in my life. The world's sins create grief in my life. That's all temporary and it's going to go away. It's just in a flash of a moment and all that will go away because we're going to go be with this God of creation who made a way for us to be with him. And how tragic that our friends, our neighbors, the ones who are more afraid of coronavirus than they are where their soul is going to go when they die. They think just in the temporary, oh, I can't get a disease. And I can't this, and I can't that, and I can't be without health care. I can't. And they live in this constant fear thinking this is all there is to life, and they reject God, and they're going to be left behind. And if they survive to this point, which will be hard to do, they're going to be staring these things down, and so many of the world will still be shaking their fist at God and saying, we're not going to give up our idol worship. I agree, but I read Jeremiah recently, and after he, for years and years, said Babylon's going to come and destroy Jerusalem, Judea, burn the temple, cast everybody into captivity, and they hated him for it, and they thought he was a traitor. They didn't believe him, but then it came true. And then they went to Jeremiah and they said, Jeremiah, go to ask God what we're supposed to do now. And he goes, don't go to Egypt. And they say, oh, we're going to go to Egypt. And then they also said, and we're going to keep worshiping the Queen of Heaven, because when we used to worship the Queen of Heaven, everything was okay. It's when we started listening to you. And he's just like, wow, Jeremiah must have been just going, man, what is wrong with people? What's wrong with people is they like listening to Satan. And if you're here today and you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you haven't bowed the knee to Jesus as your Savior, you are listening to Satan. And you'll get Satan's reward. And Satan's reward is eternal separation from God, joining him in a pit of hell. And we see from here what he loves to do is to torment and kill and destroy. That's what he does. And so don't be deceived. The lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, pride of life is not worth it in this life. What's really worth it is to humble ourselves and say, I want to turn away from those things, turn to God to give me everlasting life. I pray that anybody here who hasn't done that, well, the last days are coming. The last days of this country might be coming quicker than we know. The last days of our health might be coming as soon as they start injecting people with this stuff that could be really bringing on a plague that Wouldn't it be crazy? People go, I got to get the vaccine to get cured. And they go, they end up and get the next version of death and destruction. Imagine that. And then they'll be saying, oh, it's because you didn't get it soon enough. You better. And then people will just be running like sheep to the slaughter. I don't know if that's going to occur. All I know is my Jesus doesn't lie to me. The world lies to me. The media lies to me. Medical people lie to me. The world is full of lies. Jesus told me the truth. If I believe and trust in him, I will have everlasting life. And nothing can take that away. Let's stick with the God who tells the truth and trust him until he comes to take us home. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, to be in your word. And we thank you, God, that someday, soon, you are going to be taking the planet back. And you're going to be merciful as you do it, leaving two-thirds behind, even though they're still wanting to worship idols, to allow them to have even further time to repent and to come to you. And God, that you have made a way for those that cry out, the blood that cries out from the altar. You've made a way for us, Lord, that have humbled ourselves to have life. And I pray for anybody in this room that hasn't done so, Lord, that you convict them so deeply in their soul to just get to that point of saying, God, forgive me, a sinner, that I want to believe in your son, Jesus. I want to receive your forgiveness. I want with my lips to confess that you are my Savior, that you alone are God, and there is no other God. That I'd live my life to please you, that I'd learn about you through your word, that I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit, that you would change my heart to just want to live in love for you instead of love for the things of the world and my own life, my own short life that isn't really even mine, because it's the life that you gave me, Lord. My life belongs to you, and I want to give it to you as the rightful owner and to get off the throne of my own life and let you be on the throne forever and ever and ever, because you're such a good God. In Jesus' name, amen.
What it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak in all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine. When all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still, will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall, will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in God, you be still, but I stand in your presence. To my knees will I fall, will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all I can only imagine? I can only imagine.
I can only imagine. But all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
It's not all imagination. Book of Revelation tells us we're going to be joining the angels and forever worshiping Jesus for what he's done for us. Amen.
Amen.
And it's coming. And let's keep our hearts there, because it's the only thing that will never move, and our hearts should be founded on the rock of our Savior Jesus. God bless you, keep you in his care until we can fellowship again. God bless.